meeting in order. Just in general, those of you in the back may have a little hard time hearing, so if you want to move up a little bit, I mean, you know, I could be sitting right here and may have a hard time hearing, but those of you in the back may want to move up just a hair so you can hear better, because everybody doesn't speak as loud as me.
I can do it without it, but you can't.
Yes, I can. Sorry. Okay, roll call of general announcements. Councilwoman Bonser is not here tonight, and the mayor is not here tonight. The rest of us are here. General announcements, I'll start it off if I can. And I would ask everybody to continue to keep in your thoughts and in your prayers Adrienne Bonser, our councilwoman, who is still hospitalized tonight. She's a tough little lady, and I expect her to pull through, but she is, and I say pull through, that's kind of exaggerating. It's not for that seriousness at this stage of the game, but she's having a little bit of a rough go of it, so if you will keep her in your thoughts and prayers, we would definitely appreciate that. Second thing I'd like to just comment on was this Saturday was Comcast Care Day. It was about almost 200 Comcast employees that infiltrated the city, and that's not a good word, I guess, but we worked over at the Dunwoody Nature Center, and they did a lot of work over there. Councilman Wittenstein and I were both there. I'm proud to announce that I didn't hit anybody with the axe that I was wheeling, but it was a very good weekend. They did a lot of work, and at the end of it was even, besides the work, they made a nice donation to the Dunwoody Nature Center. So we thank Comcast for all that they did here this last weekend. In fact, for those of you who don't know, the CEO of Comcast flew down here from Philadelphia to the Nature Center. Thanks, Bill. Okay. One other general announcement tonight. If you want to speak in public comment, that you do not have to have a.
It's very loud. It's very loud.
Okay. You do not have to fill out a card. Excuse me. You have to fill out a card if you're going to talk at the public hearing. If that's what you're here for, the public hearing, you do not have to. Fill out a card. There will be a time for the public hearing, and we have a 3-minute limit per person, and there will be the pros and the cons, and I will ask our city attorney to, and our city clerk to keep a track of the time over there for me, if you will, please. Okay, with that invocation, and Councilman Ross, would you lead us, please?
At this council meeting, help us to make decisions which keep us faithful to our mission and reflect our values. Give us strength to hold to our purpose, wisdom to guide us, and a keen perception to lead us. And above all, keep us charitable as we deliberate.
Councilman Taylor, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance,
please? Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, minutes. John?
I'd like to make a motion that we defer the minutes until the next official meeting due to the fact that they weren't in our packet. I didn't have the opportunity to review them.
Okay, the motion's been made and seconded to defer approval of the minutes of April 13th work session until our next meeting on 11 May. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it, 5-0. Okay, public comment. Wait a minute, stand by, I missed something. Approval of the meeting agenda.
We also take item I-3, which is the first reading.
Okay, we're going to move to adopt the agenda.
We make the motion.
Fix the other way around.
Yeah, we get
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion?
I'm going to ask for the pick. Now, item I-3, which is a first read ordinance to amend Chapter 14. It's on the consent agenda as a first read. It should not come off there. That needs to drop down to new business, I believe.
We're going to make it L-7, do you?
L-7, makes sense.
Tell you what, that's a... I'm supposed to make that, but there'd be agreement to make that L-2 and move everything else down.
That's fine. That's fine.
Is there a second on that?
I second that.
Okay. And I'd like to further amend the motion to add the discussion of the Dunwoody Volunteer Coordination Committee by the committee chairman. L3, if you can. Put everything down again, I'm sorry.
I second that.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, let's vote on the last amendment, which is to add the discussion of the Dunwoody Volunteer Coordination Committee to the agenda. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, the ayes have it 5-0. Now we'll vote on the motion as amended. Any discussion?
No discussion on that. I just want to make a comment with respect to K1. One of our presenters for K1 may or may not be here, but at this appropriate time, I'd like to give us some flexibility on number K1 as relates to the presentation that the chair will allow that.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion as amended to move I-3 to L-2, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 5-0. Now we'll vote on the original motion to approve the meeting's agenda as amended to move I-3 to L-2 and to add Dunwoody Volunteer Coordination Committee discussion to L-3. All those in favor, raise your right hand or say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. Public comments. This is Yvonne Williams.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor and Council, and our prayers are also with Adrienne. We know how hard it is to have her and not have her present, but recuperating in the hospital. I have great news of great joy. There is a major intersection that the citizens are very interested in. It's at Mount Vernon and Astor Bellamy Road. It's now under construction. And I have brought you all as councilmen the time frame and the $2,500,000 that the CID committed to the project. We will pay the bill. It will be complete. It'll start construction in October. And we want to join you all with a major groundbreaking in October to kick off this event. And it will have a green space area for Dunwoody's interest. And we'll also donate some of our beautiful furniture if you like it. I know you wanted your own lamppost and your design, but if you decide you want in the pocket park, a nice little area where you have the bench and everything, we can work with that. So I brought you this schedule tonight for you all to have. We'd like to join you in the groundbreaking in October. We will pay the $2,500,000 to complete the project. And it's the first major partnership in our history happening this year. So I knew you all would like that, and we wanted to bring that to you today. And if you'll please let Adrienne have one too, Lauren, because I know she's very interested in that. The other is we will resolve to serve with you in three capacities on your sustainability committee. We will loan our wonderful consultant who's done work with Dunwoody before, Urban Collage, and we will let them help you with the master program of design and standards and what we've done to coordinate with Dunwoody. And Jennifer knows I will serve on that committee, and we'll also serve with the CBB. So that's three committees so far with our commitment on your effort. I would love to stay. My daughter is not usually sick, but she is tonight, and I do want to get home. And she did come to your event with my husband, who is employed with Comcast, on Saturday and had a lovely time. So thank you very much. And y'all have a great evening. But this is big stuff. We're going to have a big celebration on the 16th.
Thanks, Yvonne. And anytime you want a partnership with us and pay for something like that, we don't know how welcome you are.
We'll have a letter from somebody else in the future.
Oh, wait a minute now. Okay. Something was just pointed out to my attention that I skipped over an item. And going back to B1, the proclamation, this is Building Safety Week. And Sharon, do you have that proclamation ready to read?
International Building Safety Week 2009, May 3rd through 9th, 2009. Whereas our state's continuous efforts to address the critical issues of safety, energy efficiency, and sustainability in the built environment that affects our citizens, both in everyday life and in times of natural disaster, give us confidence that our structures are safe and sound. And whereas our confidence is achieved through the devotion of vigilant guardians, building safety and fire prevention officials, architects, engineers, builders, laborers, and others in the construction industry who work year-round to ensure the safety of construction of buildings. And whereas these guardians, dedicated members of the International Code Council, develop and implement the highest quality codes to protect Americans in the buildings where we live, learn, work, and play. And whereas the International Codes, the most widely adopted building safety, energy, and fire prevention codes in the nation, are used by most U.S. cities, counties, and states. These modern building codes also include safeguards to protect the public from natural disasters such as hurricanes, snowstorms, tornadoes, wild land fires, and earthquakes. And whereas Building Safety Week is sponsored by the International Code Council and International Code Council Foundation to remind the public about the critical role of our community's largely unknown guardians of public safety, our local code officials, who assure us of safe, efficient, and livable buildings. And whereas Building Safety, where you live, work, and play, the theme for Building Safety Week 2009 encourages all Americans to raise awareness of the importance of building safety, green and sustainable building, pool, spa, and hot tub safety, and new technologies in the construction industry. Building Safety Week 2009 encourages appropriate steps everyone can take to ensure that the place where we live, learn, work, and play are safe and sustainable, and recognizes that countless lives have been saved due to the implementation of safety codes by local and state agencies. Whereas each year, in observance of Building Safety Week, Americans are asked to consider projects to improve building safety and sustainability at home and in the community, and to acknowledge the essential service provided to all of us by local and state building departments and federal agencies in protecting lives and property. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Mayor, Ken Wright, City of Dunwoody, proclaim the week of May 3rd through the 9th, 2009, as International Building Safety Week. He urges all citizens to participate in International Building Safety Week activities to help promote building safety, to create awareness as to the importance of construction and building codes, and to spotlight the role of our dedicated code officials in administering those codes.
Thank you very much, Sharon. Very much as we go forward, you know, this is going to be one of the keys to our community to see how we build and what we build that will last down the road. And it will not only be look good, but it will be very durable. And we have a representative that represents all of the code officials of the city of Dunwoody here, and I'd ask her to stand up, Jennifer Peterson. Jennifer, who she is, she represents all of our code officials. So, Jennifer, this is to you and all of us, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, and thank you, Warren, for getting me back on schedule here. Okay, public comment continues. Mr. Dinninger, did I come close, Michael?
Thank you, council members. The Dunwoody Chamber of Commerce wants to comment on the amended language proposed for the business filing ordinance, Chapter 15, Article 1, Section 4H. I'm not sure if the council has had a chance to look at the new language, but we would like to comment briefly on that change. Not knowing whether everyone had seen it before review, it started, the language did have a requirement upon filing for your business license, an attached tax return plus, if this was a Georgia corporation, tax return. If a Georgia corporation return was not available, then an affidavit signed by a CPA firm attached attesting to the revenues or gross receipts for the period was to be attached. So as the language began, which we disagreed with, there was a requirement to either attach a tax return, if you had one, and if you did not have one through extensions or if they're not filing, then you have to go and hire a certified public accountant to attest to your receipts, which would cost some monies for the small business owners. The new language now, instead of having any attachments, has a series of two sworn statements. One statement, from what I understand from the language, is that the business owner must look at his tax return and swear that he is pulling off of his tax return the gross receipts for the year according to that tax return. He does not have to attach it. He's just swearing that he did look at it and got the number from that return. The second step is, if there are no returns or there's extensions, etc., then the business owner must attest to his gross receipts to the best of his knowledge. And that, of course, could mean going to his books and, you know, adding it up, even though some business owners, if you know, may not be really capable of doing a really good job of having exact business receipts. Now, most business owners do have tax accountants, etc., but there are times when there are none, and it's going to be on the owner to do this. We agree as a chamber that the removal of all attachments to the business license application is very good. And we also believe that if someone does have a tax return, they can look at the tax return and pull out the receipts and write them down and swear to the best of his knowledge that he has done so correctly. The second sworn statement, though, if you do not have a tax return and one is required to state or swear to the best of his ability, best of his knowledge, that he has estimated or compiled all of his receipts from the previous year correctly, we might want to add a small addition to that. Whereas right now, in so many words, it states that the business owner swears to the best of his knowledge that these receipts are correct. We would like to add, to the best of my knowledge and ability, I swear to the statement that these receipts are compiled and correct. That's the only modification that we wish to add to the existing language as it is now, the statement that, to the best of my knowledge, which is present, and ability to swear to the gross receipts for the period. And we're doing this, we just want to make sure that some, in case a business owner cannot get a professional immediately to, or doesn't have the money to maybe pay a little extra to get an exact number at March 15th or April 15th, whichever that deadline date is. Sometimes they're doing tax returns at the same time and you get fairly busy at March 15th and April 15th time frame. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Daniel. Ms. Schumacher? Have I got that anywhere close?
Well, I say Schumacher, but it can be either way. I'm Joan Schumacher. I'm a business owner in the Dunwoody area. My business is celebrating 20 years this year. And also a founding sponsor of the Dunwoody Chamber of Commerce. And I've also hosted with the Chamber some business license forums for the public to inform them of the business license procedures. I do agree with the amendment that is being proposed regarding business license attachments, that the federal return, rather than the Georgia return, actually shows gross receipts, but that doesn't always give you the full story, because you may have part of those gross receipts may represent receipts from other states, or if they have a business as in more than one county, it may also represent receipts that are from other counties that are reported in those counties. So even if with the way it had stood before, it really did not give you a complete story of that. So I agree with the statement and the changes, and also what Michael had mentioned, that would be a move in the right direction. Of course, we know that you're always are able to have the option to audit if you believe that you need to, and that's always been understood in the past. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bender?
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem and council members. My name is George Bender. I've been a resident of Dunwoody for a little over 30 years. And I would like to see the water restrictions amended so as to allow residents to be able to wash their cars. I know by all reports I've seen, the drought is over. However, I do recognize that Lake Lanier is still below normal, probably by 9 feet or so. Having said that, I still think that there are some compelling reasons why the restrictions could be amended. Number one, I think we're talking about a very small percentage of the population that actually go out and wash their own cars. On the street that I've lived on for 30 plus years, we have 19 homes, and I pretty well know the street, and there's, I'd say, three residents, possibly four at the most, that would be doing such an activity. Based on that, if we are typical, and I don't know if we are or not, but that's a 15 to 20% of the people or the residents, which is a very small segment of the population. Secondly, the frequency that you do wash a car is, depending on weather conditions, not very often. Actually, you can go weeks without washing a car. So my point being that the impact on Lake Lanier would appear to be somewhat minimal. In addition, everybody washes their car different, but it really doesn't take a whole lot of water to wash a car. And as I said, it's not very frequent. I also realize that there are the car washes that are available. However, I'm not a fan of them. I don't like the way they treat the cars. There are some good ones, and of course they are pretty pricey. So it just makes it a lot easier if we had that ability to do our own cars. And it could be done on a day that you're allowed to hand water anyway, so I don't know what the big deal is. So I think that this is something that could be done without having a large negative impact on Lake Lanier.
Thank you, Mr. Bender. Mrs. Riesmeyer?
Thank you, Mayor and Councilman. I'm Mary Riesmeyer, and I also wash my own car, which I'm sure all of you might find a little surprising. But I have gone to car washes now and then, and I found that it doesn't always come out to my satisfaction. And also, I feel like I can just do it myself and do it in my yard. And I don't water my lawn on my days that are allowed, except now and then, and I feel like it could be a trade-off. That on the days I could water my lawn, I could decide that either I would like to wash my car or I could water the lawn, and I'd like it to be considered, because I also have noticed in the paper that Lake Lanier is up, although on May 1st I hear they're going to be letting out more water, which I still don't understand that part either, but anyway, be that as it may, I would like it to be considered that we could see if we could make some kind of amendment to see if anyone who would choose to do their own car washing, you could do it at their own house and not have to go out. And I'm not against the car wash people not having a job. I understand they also do need their jobs. But for the few of us who would like to do it at home, I would like that to be an option. Thank you.
I have three more cards, and I just, all of them pertain to the farmer's market, which is a public hearing. If you would like to, in most cases, you should be waiting until the public hearing. I don't know if you've got the word on that. The three of you know who signed up. I think it would be better if I can ask the convenience of the
well, they don't have to speak at public comments.
I understand that, but we have a public hearing. I don't know. Do all of you understand that during the public hearing that you'll be allowed to speak pro or con against the farmer's market?
Public hearing is open for anything that's on time on the agenda.
Public comment?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then in that case, I would ask you if you speak now, you know, to let the floor go to someone else later then. It's Ms. Rutland?
I'm happy to wait until if there's more appropriate time. I don't care.
Right away. Okay. Whatever you want to do.
Whatever you want me to do. So.
Speak up. You're 2 feet from the mic.
Okay. I'm Rosemary Rutland. Thank you for this opportunity to speak in support of the farmers market. I'm a local chef and instructor at the Art Institute. I'm a Dunwoody resident for the last 8 years. And I feel it's really important to have a local farmers market. It's a meeting place for people. It's a place where children can go to see real produce that doesn't come from a public grocery store. Nell's Market is also a place that people might consider a farmer's market, but because she's really a broker and not a farmer, farm-to-table supplier, it's not really in the same category. There are several farmers markets in town. St. Philip's Cathedral has one every Saturday. They are zoned RG5 for residential use, much like the problem that we have here in Dunwoody. And, you know, we have children in this area that don't even know that milk comes from cows. We have a dairy guy that comes and brings milk and can talk to them about his farm. They give tours, things like that. I would really hate to lose this this opportunity to have the market. I realize that it's very complicated to amend properly the text, and I do feel for that. But I also, as a local chef, realize that it's very important to have this opportunity to keep these farmers in the Illinois area. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if I may indulge your one more time, public comment, public opinion, it's open to anyone. Please keep your comments down. And I know the applause is great, but in the essence, to get everyone a chance to speak was just, you know, we'll know that you're going to applaud and we'll go carry on. Lynn, I can't read this. D-E-U-T, Deutsch, is it Deutsch?
Okay. I'm Lynn Deutsch, and I'm here tonight as a Dunwoody resident, although I also serve on the Planning Commission. In a perfect world, we wouldn't be discussing the text change related to churches and farmers markets. When we became a city, we would have had a town square, a city center, a standalone city hall, and or control of our parks. That is not our current reality. It may be years before this list comes to fruition as we work through the logistics of both being a mature, developed city and acquiring the parks from DeKalb. In the meantime, we must be creative with the space we have available. We may need to temporarily or permanently redefine public space. As cities mature and space becomes more valuable and less available, where community gatherings are held becomes more challenging. Farmer markets are most often found in public spaces. At the Planning Commission meeting 2 weeks ago, changes to the proposed text ordinance were recommended, which included limitations that hopefully will make the text change more palatable. A farmer's market is a positive to any community and to its residents. One that is going to be walkable for hundreds of Dunwoody families is just an awesome thing. While perhaps not an ideal fix, and perhaps it should be viewed as a temporary one, this council must weigh the good and the bad of the text change while discussing how we will address the need for community space as we mature. Now, on the other agenda item, the Comprehensive Plan Advisory Committee, I'd like to make sure that y'all make sure it's balanced geographically, that we have a nice representation, not just of people from a cross-section of professions and organizations and interest groups from Dunwoody, but also from the entire scope of the city of Bethany. Thank you. Have a good meeting.
Thank you, Lynn. Okay, Sally Malone? I can pronounce that one.
Thank you for allowing me to speak. I could wait, I guess, to the discussion, but I think my comments are more general. I'm a 25-year Dunwoody resident, and I'm also a customer of the Green Market, and have been since its inception. So I've been around for a long time with them, and it would absolutely break my heart to see them have to leave. I've been proud to say that I live in a community that supports a farmer's market, and I think the idea of having a sustainable green community is a bandwagon that we all should and could get behind. I agree with Lynn that maybe some of the wording and some of the solutions might have to be temporary, that we need to find a solution so that we can keep these farmers in our community. They depend on us. We depend on them. It's a win-win situation for everybody, and it's a real calling card to the community for Dunwoody to have this farmer's market here. And I, for one, would be perfectly willing to help Patty Baker with the sustainability to find a permanent location where we can all be happy with it. But I just would urge that everybody keep an open mind as we get into the discussion so that we can find a workable solution. Because we either find a temporary place for these farmers to be, or we're going to lose them completely. They're going to have to move on to somewhere that will welcome them. And they're places who are standing in line waiting for a farmer's market. And Dunwoody has one. We just need to keep it. And we need to find a workable solution so that we can keep these people here. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Malone. Okay, mayors and council's comments. We'll start off on the right. Tom? Danny?
I have one comment I'd like to make. Actually, I'll make it two. One is I want to thank everybody who did come out for the Comcast Cares Day. The Nature Center had an enormous amount of stuff done to it. It was a marvelous day. It was a lot of fun, and they were the beneficiaries of all the effort. The other thing I'd just like to say is that over the last week, I have gotten a lot of email over the farmers market, and I want you to know that I appreciate that email. I read them all carefully. I thank you for sending them, whether you were pro or whether you were con. And I just want you to know, I only responded to the people who actually asked a question, but please understand that your email was appreciated and it was read, so I thank you for sending it.
John?
Several weeks ago on North Peachtree Road near Chestnut Elementary was a speed limit sign that was installed. And if you've gone past there, you may have noticed that it now lights up with the speed limit. If you're going over 30 miles an hour, it's a 35-mile-an-hour zone in front of a school's, and that sign was installed several weeks ago, and at that time, it didn't function. It pretended not to function. It didn't tell you the speed in which you were going, but it was actually registering how fast the cars were going on North Peachtree Road. A week later, it was activated publicly so that you could see the speed in which you were going. This Thursday, there's going to be a release of the information to tell you the difference between how fast you were going when the speed limit sign didn't light up to now how the results may have slowed down the traffic on North Peachtree Road when the sign did light up. That's going to be held at Chestnut Elementary School this Thursday at 11 a.m. And I welcome anybody who is concerned about speeding in the city of Dunwoody to please join me. I'll be there. Chestnut Elementary, 11:30 a.m. Thursday. Thank you.
I don't know if I made the announcement. I know I talked about it, but the Comcast did make a financial donation, and that donation, I just want to let everybody know, was to the Dunwoody Nature Center. It was not to DeKalb County or the city of Dunwoody. It was the Dunwoody Nature Center. That's all I have. Okay, consent agenda. We have two items in the consent agenda. Would you, Chairman, would you please read those, please?
Yes, sir. Number one, resolution establishing stormwater utility fees and credits. And number two, second read of ordinance to establish the stormwater utility fund budget.
Any objections to anyone on the council of including these in the consent agenda?
I move we adopt the consent agenda.
Second. Motion's been made and moved that we adopt the consent agenda, which includes item I-1 and I-2. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Discussion.
Sorry. Thank you. Discussion.
I'd just like to let the public know that the Stormwater Utility Fund is actually something that's on your real estate bill right now. We are adopting the DeKalb County verbatim. Your taxes are not going up. We are not raising your taxes tonight. We are basically adopting DeKalb County stormwater fees.
Okay. Now, I'll just include one other thing on there. With the stormwater utility comes the liability of maintaining that utility. And at first, I think there was kind of a feeling here in the council to, well, just keep that with DeKalb County. But then when we found out that there was no money in the DeKalb County Stormwater Utility Contingency Fund, we decided we better just start taking our own money and managing it that way. So there is a liability involved here, but there was also a liability if we didn't do anything also. Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor of approving the consent agenda, item I-1 and 2, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that is passed 5-0. Sharon? Okay, with the consent of the council, we're going to move to item K1. And important presentation is the presentation of proceeds from the BRAP. Everybody's got their own little keywords. All the folks here that ran Lemonade Days came up with theirs by the Dunwoody Preservation Trust. So I'll let you all take it over from the mic. And how are we going to do this?
Well, several members of our board are here, and
bring
thank
on
you
up,
very
bring
much for having
sure.
us tonight.
Bring
on behalf on, of the...
All right, let's go there.
If I could introduce our board members, this is Molly and Sam Portis, Tom McGurk, my husband Tom, and I are the presidents, and then Queen and Andy Ross are here, as well as Jeff Walker.
Hey, Molly, Tom, get up here.
Dr. Freeland. On behalf of the Dunwoody Preservation Trust, we are happy to present the City of Dunwoody with proceeds from last Saturday's first ever...
Things aren't like they used to be. You'll have to speak up, I think.
Yeah, hit the battery.
The red light went out.
On behalf of the Dunwoody Preservation Trust, we are happy to present the City of Dunwoody with the proceeds from last Saturday's first ever BRAD, Bicycle Ride Around Dunwoody. We are grateful to the City for its support of the event, which had 130 Dunwoody citizens, including many of you in this room, traveling through the city on a 7-mile or 2-mile course through the city and then parading into Brook Run for Lemonade Day celebration. The event was made possible by the support of the city, its police department, our grad sponsor, Portis Distinctive Renovations and Interiors, Danny Ross, who provided the vision and direction for the event, and the interest and support of the community. The ride was presented in memory of Jim Benson, who was a Dunwoody citizen and a Dunwoody High School graduate and was tragically killed on a bicycle this past fall. The mission of the Dunwoody Preservation Trust is to support the history and heritage of our community. To that end, we have great interest in the opportunities that our new city brings in regard to the livability of Dunwoody, the preservation of its green space, and the promotion of pedestrian traffic and clean air options for commuting within our city's boundaries. It would be our pleasure to partner with the city in these efforts. As co-president of the Dunwoody Preservation Trust, I am happy to present this check, which we hope will provide a starting point for these livability and commuting issues. Specifically, bike lanes throughout our thoroughfares and bike racks at shopping, dining, and community locations. On behalf of the Dunwoody Preservation Trust, Lemonade Days, and BRAD, we present this check for $3,000, along with our pledge of continued support and interest in partnering with the City of Dunwoody toward these efforts.
Thank you very much. How are you? Thank you. Thanks so much. I guess just a quick word here. I guess we're going to make another presentation here before I get a quick word. I'll hand the check to Danny because he's very trustworthy. Oh, okay.
That one goes to Warren.
That one goes to Warren. One other small presentation. This is the commemorative poster. It was designed by Dunwoody resident Cheryl Shinsey. It is the first of what we hope to be many commemorative posters for the City of Dunwoody and the Lemonade Days. We've made a framed copy and we're presenting to the City of Dunwoody so they can put it in the new City Hall and always be reminded of this event and our partnership.
Thank you very much. Thank you for all the hard work.
just a couple comments for Dan. You know, I think this is a great painting. In fact, it's already framed and in my house. I think it's going up somewhere on a wall, which I don't know what wall yet, but I guess it's not for me to know anyway. But I just want to thank all of you for all the work you did. For those of you who are here, you're bike riders. You don't have to be, you know, an Olympian. Next year, please get yourself ready and come on out. We had a lot of good time. The chief was there and his wife, and so we had just about everybody out there. But next year, we want to make it a lot bigger. And we want to make this an annual thing. And Danny and Queenie, I know you've been involved in this for many years, so I have thanks to all of you for everything you did. And it was a great weekend, by the way. And if I'm glad that John Hennigan didn't bring his son up there, and I had to lift him on the pony. That's the one. So thank you all very much. We appreciate it.
Let me make one comment and further introduce Tom McGurk. Tom McGurk ran MMA Day this year. He did a splendid job. We were up 30% year over year. Last year we had 30,000 feet last night. This year we were up 30% above that. So we had tremendous year. We get good management in here to see what happens. That's good. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, back to the normal agenda, which unfinished business, which is the second read, ordinance to amend Chapter 15, business occupational tax.